Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
So it is our fourth anniversary. Kennedy Schultz was thinking of starting a religious science church back in 1979 here, and he was talking to the people up in New York, and they're like, Atlanta, Georgia? The Bible Belt? You want to get this new thought teaching going in the Bible Belt? And that was the beginning of this clarity of this teaching here in Atlanta. Then it was 4.5 years ago. For those of you that haven't heard, Paul and I live kind of in the same neighborhood, and I was working out at the gym, and Paul's working out at the gym, and he came over to me just dripping in sweat and everything like that. And he was like, David, my retirement, you know, I still want to do something. I want to do something maybe on a quarterly basis and have people come together. And I said, well, Paul, I want to do something too. I want to do something too. So it was at that meeting in the gym, him sweating because he just got off the treadmill. Me, I'm on the bike going and sweating. And he's like, let's start this thing. So that was 4.5 years ago. 6 months we got together with practitioners and people. We were sitting on front porches and back porches coming together with this understanding of what we wanted this place to look like. And then it was 4 years, March 4th, that we came together and said, let's go ahead and start this thing. And it's been a wonderful 4 years. So it's happy fourth anniversary. We've got cake and milk. After the year one anniversary, people were like, where's the milk? You know, you got the sweet cake. So I made it a point. We've got milk there too. I've got full fat milk and I got fat free. So I'm trying to get you all taken care of. So being 4 years old, my talk title is For the Golf Charge That You Have, you know. And so as I mentioned this last week, it's a golfing term that a golfer yells when he's about to hit the ball, and he yells four. And it is said that this comes from the term from the Australian Army in the 1800s. That would shout in the military when they were ready to shoot some artillery. They would shout, beware before. Beware before. So that sounds very British and Australian, and they were getting ready to shoot a piece of artillery. So look out there is what they're saying. Look out there. And for those of you that went to our retreat in Brasstown Valley a few years ago, Paul was out there. Paul got together and got a group of golfers out there. David was out there, but David wants to do the mindfulness of the nature hike on the paths and things like that. Well, as I'm out on my nature hike and walking through there, do I hear four? And do I hear crashing through the trees? The golf balls. So just I'm saying, beware out there when they're yelling four. So beware before, look out there. And my talk is not about look out there as a place, but as a time. Because just like my very first talk that I had for you right here, I said March 4th. March 4th. March 4th from this place with a greater understanding of life and yourself and go out and change the world. Well, that's what I'm saying right now. Four, look out there, because here we are in our fourth year, and I want you to walk out here and understand that your life is getting ready to change. When you take this teaching into you personally and use it in your life, look out there. Beware before, because your life is going to change. So the minute you start thinking in a higher level of understanding of life and yourself, out there, it's going to change. You're going to get a new job or increase in your position at your job. Your health is going to increase. There's so many different things that are going to happen out there because of something you did in here and because of this teaching. There's a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and Ralph Waldo Emerson was one of three major people that influenced Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching. So it was Emerson, Troward, and the Bible were the three main influences on religious science. But Emerson had this quote, "Beware when the great God lets loose a thinker on this planet, then all things are at risk." Beware when the great God lets loose a thinker on this planet, then all things are at risk. And my main point I want to share with you this morning is for you to walk out of here with a question. At what level am I doing this thinking? At what level am I doing this thinking? What do I need to do in order for all things out there to be at risk? How am I going to change my life out there? So in keeping with my theme of four, and I heard the meditation this morning was a theme of four and got the all the different levels of four that are out there, like north, south, east, and west, and many different things of four. I'm going to stay with the four. I've realized that through this teaching, I've learned to spiral upwards in my thinking, so I'm keenly aware that, yes, all things are at risk right now because of my thinking. And these four, and I'll break them down, is thinking using the law of averages, thinking using mental law, thinking using spiritual law, grace. Those four things. Law of averages, mental law, spiritual law, and grace. So for those of you that are sitting over here and can't see, I've got five chairs because I want you to know that 80% of the world is thinking in the law of averages. So for four of the chairs, I've got average. Thinking average. 80% of the world is thinking in the law of averages. No one needs to beware or look out before or for when you're thinking average. Why? You're out there is average. If you're thinking here is average, you're out there is average. Your life doesn't change. You don't need to look out for anything. So my personal story was coming to this teaching when I was 29 years old, hearing the basic four talks that Paul does every January, listening about this greater idea of life. But then I realized my thinking was average thinking. That's what I was doing. So how do you do better than average thinking? You take classes. You learn about this greater way to think. And as an aside, just this past week, did you know that Newsweek magazine came out with Spiritual Living? It's just a special Newsweek that they came out with Spiritual Living. There's all kinds of different things in here. But on one page, guess what it says? Higher Ed, Higher Self. And it says, the Centers for Spiritual Living, a global organization of nearly 400 spiritual communities whose mission is to awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence while honoring all religions and paths to God, is perhaps the most well-known institution offering spiritual education. The centers' teaching are built upon the concepts of Ernest Holmes. And so it just has this page right here. Centers for Spiritual Living took out a full-page ad in here. But if you want to learn how this teaching, what I like that Newsweek pulled out of there, is that we offer you the education on having a spiritual life. We don't just say, come on Sundays and be uplifted. We want to educate you how you can educate yourself on being uplifted. So in 1990, I hear what's going on the podium, but was told to get into classwork to raise to this level of thinking. It took me 9 months to finally start classes in the fall because I thought it was just Sundays and Wednesdays and Sundays and Wednesdays. And the classes were great. But that is where I learned about mental law. So everything's going to kind of pile up over here because I started learning about mental law. And I realized, okay, there was this thing called spiritual mind treatment, exactly what Angela just did with us. And if you did this 7-step affirmative prayer, your life is going to change. If you did this 7 steps. Well, it actually took me 3 years before I did my first spiritual mind treatment. Why? I didn't think I had the right words. Why? I was going to say the wrong thing. Why? People are going to judge me on the words that I'm using and things like that. Here, they're teaching me mental law, and I'm going back and using all of my law of average thinking to not let me go there. I wouldn't step into the mental law because I was afraid of what people would think. That's where the average way of thinking comes in. So it took me 3 years. And the good news is they've changed classes that in the very first class that you ever take in foundations, they have you doing spiritual mind treatment. So I like that they changed that around because back then I could get away with 3 years of classes before I did that. So you see here where I was still holding on to my average thinking while I was trying to use this mental law. So finally at year 3, I did my first spiritual mind treatment and I got a parking spot. Oh, it was so good. So beware when the great God lets loose a thinker on this planet, for you're going to get a parking spot. It was amazing to see how this mental law worked. This seven-step affirmative prayer, the car pulls out and there's your spot. Wow. Then more changes out there began to occur by using this mental law. In 1998, 8 years into it, I started the dream job I used with spiritual mind treatment. So it took me, do you see how it wasn't just this overnight thing? It took me a lot to let go of all of this baggage, because 80% of the world is trying to remind you to please stay with us in the 80%. And we're the ones that are saying, no, I think there's something better out there. So in 1998, I did a treatment for a different career. Wonderful job at the law firm. Here I am 18 years later there. 2 months later, I started dating and have a wonderful relationship for 18 years. So it was just really wonderful using this mental law. And it was in 2000 that I knew I had religious science down. I became a minister in 2000. So 10 years into classes do I become a minister of religious science. I was an expert at mental law. I knew the seven steps of treatment, and I knew my life was better, but also, too, I could do treatment work for people, and their lives would get better by me doing treatment work for them. I was an expert at mental law. It was a beautiful thing. And I did midweek services for 7 years at SLCA. Paul Gagne was a minister there, and I was doing those midweek services, and one day I just went into Paul's office and said, Paul, I need to do something different. I've had enough of the midweek services. I want to start teaching classes. Well, if you think being a student is a wonderful way to learn, wait till you start teaching. Teaching really brings something different out of there. So then it was this new level of understanding that occurred. And I was speaking with Joyce Reynolds every Wednesday night when I was teaching these classes, and I was teaching the practitioner class. And we'd have about 5 minutes, but those 5 minutes were powerful. If you know Joyce Reynolds, Joyce Reynolds is powerful. I had 5 minutes with her because she's teaching her scripting class. I'm teaching my practitioner class. We had 5 minutes to talk, and it was really amazing what would happen in those 5 minute talks. But she said, David, you know what? You're using mental law. How come you're not going into the spiritual law? And I was like, Joyce, that's not true. I'm used spiritual law. I'm really good at spiritual law. And I know what spiritual law is. And that night, I go home and I climb in the bed and going, what the heck is she talking about? Holy mackerel. So when you understand spiritual law, guess what happens? Your life unfolds 100-fold better. Your life unfolds 10-fold better when you understand mental law. Your life unfolds 100-fold better when you understand spiritual law. Spiritual law was letting go of the parking space. Spiritual law was letting go of the salary. Spiritual law was letting go of the health. Spiritual law was letting go of work, but knowing something bigger than all of those things. It was letting go of the things in this kingdom and grabbing onto another kingdom. This is Jesus saying, you don't know the kingdom I come from. Because the people are asking, what kingdom are you from? What kingdom are you from? And they're all asking here. And he's like, you don't know the kingdom I come from. I come from here. I come from a kingdom that you know not of. Because they have a vested interest in understanding what that kingdom is all about. So the reason being, the ones that were asking what kingdom he was from have an interest in keeping the kingdom of law of average, just average. Keep them down. Keep them down. Don't unleash a thinker like Emerson is saying. Keep them down. We can't have a thinker here that thinks there is anything better than this. We want you to have the average way of life. So at the spiritual law level, at this kingdom is when you are clear. The Father and I are one. You're very clear about it. All that the Father hath is mine. The Father doesn't have a parking space. He has an ease of life. That's the difference. That's going from the mental law of getting the parking space to the spiritual law of ease of life. It raises to a higher level of understanding. So the Father doesn't have a $250,000 salary. He has abundance. The Father doesn't have a mastectomy. He has perfect health. So this is when I learned about spiritual law versus mental law. I was very good at demonstrating increased salaries and job positions and boyfriends and girlfriends. I was very good, and I was using that mental law. I stepped out of this 80% of the thinkers and started using mental law. But then when I started realizing spiritual law, thank you, Joyce Reynolds, did something start happening? The spiritual law showed me my new kingdom of letting go of the numbers, letting go of the names, letting go of the positions. When you let go of all of those things, something magnificent happens. Your life unfolds 100-fold better when you understand that. And then finally, sure enough, who else but Joyce Reynolds comes and teaches me this fourth level of thinking. And that's grace. Grace. Grace is an awareness of God's presence in all things. And not as you sitting there and looking out at something graceful, it's truly understanding how you and that something wonderful are one. It's really understanding that grace. You as an aspect of that grace. And the way she opened my eyes about this was explaining her commute to Atlanta from Woodstock. She would have to come down 575 to 75 to city traffic. And she did this on all four levels of her history and her thinking. The first few years of doing this commute, it was the law of averages. Why? Because she asked her friends, how long does it take to get from Woodstock to Atlanta? And I'll ask you, how long does it take? And you'll give me an answer that is an average of what it takes people to get down here. So that's the law of averages that are there. Same thing, if I ask you if I broke my arm, how many weeks do I have to have this cast on? And you're going to tell me it's 8 weeks. That's average thinking. That's what the average person takes to get their arm cured. So you need to rise above that because 80% of the world, even the doctors are telling you, well, average, you know, there's a 50% chance you're going to get better. Well, what's the 50% chance? Thinking at the law of averages. And we can do better than that. So she would ask all of that. And sure enough, that's how long it took her when all those people. She then moved into the mental law. She said she let go of her opinions and the amount of time that it usually takes her to do the travel. So then she did the 7-step affirmative prayer. And she would announce the clarity of the roads on 575 and 75 in the city. She got them. She got the clarity of 575, 75 in the city. Later, she moved into spiritual law. She announced she was on time with the universe. Do you see where she let go of 575 and 75 and let go of that? Stop holding on to that. That's a very limiting idea. Let go of that. She realized, I am on time with the universe. That's spiritual law. That's where you move it up there. And her commute got better. But it wasn't until she realized grace that the travel no longer mattered. It was all an aspect of God, all an aspect of the grace that is before us all the time. Instead of looking at the signs for the exit to 75 or to the I-20 loop, she noticed the trees. She noticed the skies. She noticed the ease of transportation was now in her Mercedes and it wasn't a cart with a donkey. She noticed all of this. And then she arrives at her destination. There was no time from Woodstock to Atlanta. It was just grace that she showed up. So we have average thinking, mental thinking, spiritual thinking, and grace. I hope I gave you enough of an understanding of how do we think. So how do we use this in our daily lives? And I ask you to think about this the next time you're starting to make these statements and everything. Why am I making this statement? Am I making this statement from the average thinking of what everybody else thinks? Or am I chiming into something a little bit greater than that? 80% of the world is thinking average thoughts. Just yesterday, I heard a friend of mine on Friday night got broken into her house. She was out at dinner. She came back. Her computer was gone. Phone was gone and things. And so another friend I was with said, oh, now she's a target. She's a target that she's going to have it happen again. And I was like, okay, that immediately was right there. Law of average thinking of how somebody thinks about that. It was compared to what's happened in the past where a house is broken into and known items will be replaced and a target again. So there's average thinking on the TV. That's why there's so many cars out there that says kill your TV or something like that. That's the 80% people wanting to keep you there with the TV ads. They show us how we'd look good if we use their hair care product. And it's going to be an outside fix. An ad says take this medicine, you're going to be cured. That's an outside fix. If you play an ad, change your thinking, change your life. We don't want that. We'd rather have a pill. We'd rather have something easier than change your thinking, change your life. So all of this at the law of averages says, put a new slip cover on, but the couch underneath is same and old and ragged. So the TV, the newspapers, the magazines, Facebook gladly tell you how to get health and happiness and prosperity, how to get, not become. How to get, not become. In the material world, the average world, you get what you want by fighting for it, by working hard for it, through sheer force, through pressure and demand. I got through my first 30 years of life doing exactly this. I was in that law of averages, but I knew I could put out this fire and I could go to that fire and I could do this and I could do that. But it was all in the law of averages. So I worked hard for it. So people are successful at this. I know my grandparents were. They really used this. But also, too, they used a little bit of this mental and spiritual law. They said, David, if you do this in mind, if you pray like this, if you do like that, life would get easier for you. So many people are quite successful right here in the 80%ers that think like that. I can't say that it doesn't work because it does. I've seen people become successful because they've decided to. They worked hard to become so. They often work long hours into the night. Their interest and their enthusiasm were to that end, and they produced what they wanted. But there's got to be an easier way. While these people are pushing and demanding and pressurizing, there are quite a few successes that happen without the push, without the demand. What are they doing? They quietly go up the ladder and arrive at the top of success. Their health remains good. Their way of living is easy. They find they're at the top without using the pressure method. That's what's happened when some people think a little bit differently. So you can have health, happiness, and prosperity through mental and spiritual technique. Jesus used the spiritual principle. He was a principle of life. He was always talking about life. Orthodoxy is the one that has made him this instrument of death. He never taught about death. He was always about teaching life, life, life. He was a law of life on using the law of mind and action. He knew about spiritual law and mental law and grace. Naturally, when you get what you want through the spiritual technique, what do the ones think of you that are trying to use it with the pressure technique? Something needs to happen to him. We need to break his legs. He's doing it too easy. All the pushers and all the high-pressure people will be annoyed because you do it so easily while they work so hard. I have people come to me and tell me they're working too hard. And I ask them, why are you working so hard? And they're like, the money. I need the money. The money is really good. I work because of my salary. And I immediately respond to them, you're working for the wrong thing. You're working for the wrong thing. Working for a salary is here in the 80% thinking group. When you raise your level of thinking to mental law, spiritual law, you no longer work for money, but work for the need of the self-expression. That's why we talk about it all the time. When you go out and have this self-expression, which is God pushing through you to say, come out and do this something glorious. And so when that's trying to happen, when you do that, the money follows. You don't do it for the money. You do it for the creative self-expression. The money's secondary. Jesus was destroyed by the high-pressure people who didn't like the way he did things. The high-pressure people had him killed. During his 3 years of teaching and producing results, he said often, you will believe something. You will believe something. He discarded the force, the pressure, and the demands which the leaders of the religion had used. Jesus said, don't live by the material method. Don't live by over here what everybody else is doing. He says, don't look at the manna here. Don't you know my manna comes from heaven? when you really understand what he's saying there. Jesus said, believe. Hold on. Hold on. Everybody's going to sit here and say, well, I'm treating, and like I'm not getting a demonstration, and then this doesn't work, and then the law fulfills itself and doesn't work because you're sitting there saying the law doesn't work, and it just fulfills itself. But if you hold on, because this has been sitting there the whole time, but we're so enmeshed with the four chairs and the 80% of the people around us sitting here and saying, that stuff doesn't work. Oh, you go to that cult church. And I'm just sitting there saying, no, I'm teaching the same thing that this is what Jesus taught. This is what Jesus said, believe. And the other said, no, we have to have an army. We've got to get rid of the Romans. We've got to lower our taxes. And Jesus said, no, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself as God created you. The crowds didn't stay with them. They don't like that. I'd rather take the pill than change my way of thinking. It was easier to recruit an army than to think justice, order, and harmony to our fellow man. They didn't want to believe a new idea. They wanted to act on an old one. So the same's with us. I'm telling you today to go home and think of these four levels. Think of the, even this morning when I said I was going to pose the question, because I don't want to give you an answer. This teaching needs to have you walk out of here with your head full of questions and asking, what's this spiritual life all about? What's going on? And so this morning, this is like, what is the question? One of the questions sitting here is, you know, people are going to care who I kiss, and people are going to care who I love, and people are going to care. And then when you get over to this understanding of your life, which is the minority on here, I just need to love. I just need to go out and be creative and do what I want to do, not what I think I need to do to get the money. So when you sit in a different chair and start asking questions in a different way, something happens. So go ahead and think about this. But then we immediately go back to an old idea. I did a great class, and we were talking about getting these new ideas, and these new ideas pop into our head, but there's this little devil thing that's sitting on our shoulder that's saying, who do you think you are saying these things? That is this law of average doing that. So being in this teaching for 27 years now, I see mind and its action. I see consciousness as the real person. When Paul and I are standing out there and people come up to us with all kinds of issues that are going on, and you know, neither one of us see the issue. We don't see the issue. We see consciousness coming before us ready to change, ready to produce a different result. That's what we see. We don't see the problem at all. We just see mind in action, ready to act and cure, heal, give, whatever it is that you're bringing up to us out there. The real you is not your job. The real you is not how much money you have in the bank account. The real you is not your spouse or partner. That's not the real you. You are consciousness. You are mind in action. Jesus knew this, and he was able to do things that others could not do physically, because everybody else was trying to say, physically, you can't do that. Physically, you can't heal that way. Physically, you can't do that. He's like, let go of the physical thing. You're metaphysical. You're above the physical. Understand that. So we need to treat ourselves to a greater life. We need not to assume we can't do it like I did for 3 years. Assume that you can do it, then do it. Just move through it. When your mind is able to project far enough ahead, for and casting all that your human mind will tell you cannot be done, you realize you can do it. Because your human mind is going to say, you can't do it. You've got to cast that aside. You need to understand and hold on to your 20%. Your human mind says things like, I treated, opened my eyes, and it wasn't there. Your human mind says the chances are slim for that to happen to me. Your human mind says you're getting too old to have it. So you have humanly argued yourself out of your demonstration. The law is working at the human average level as well as that one. Which one do you want to use? So in my treatments, I have to say, be still. The limitation is not true. Our humans' minds like to disagree with spiritual ideas. We have a lot of fear in our human mind. It doesn't exist in our spiritual world. There is fear here. There is no fear here. There is no fear in the mind of God. There is no fear in universal intelligence. And so, but where does fear come from? This level of thinking is where fear comes from. So there is fear out there about who becomes the next president. What if Trump wins? What's going to happen? What if any of them win? What's going to happen? And I'm going to give you a talk later this year, closer to the election day, that states, whoever resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is not first cause to my experience. Whoever resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is not first cause to my experience. 80% of the world, and why we're watching this beautiful unfoldment occur, believes that whoever resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is first cause to their experience. And the minute you let go of that average thinking and step into mental law or spiritual law, you can realize that you are going to be rich no matter who's living in that house. You're going to be healthy no matter who's living in that house, because you're not using this way of thinking anymore. So we got to be very clear that our goodness of life does not come from the president. But here we are, this fearful nation right now over that. Today, we see fear in the human world over this. We see folly over this. That's the 80%. In older religions, there was fear of God. Well, everybody's been pushing God out the door. Now we've just made ourselves fearful of ourselves. We're just fearful of ourselves. We need to let go of the fear and go turn to this faith, this understanding. It's actually the same stick. If you hold the stick and you hold one end and it's all full of fear and everything, if you just turn it around, faith is on the other end. You're just using faith in a negative direction. So turn around and grab the other end of the stick and use it in a faith-based understanding. There's no fear there at the universal spiritual level. There's only fear in this midst of us. So this is where fear begins. This is where fear ends, when we let go of that and go to that understanding. So you go to brunch after service today and somebody's going to tell you the stock market's ready to go into recession. You better get out of it. And so what do you need to do? That thinking is the 80 percenters. You need to understand you're abundant irrespective of what's happening in the stock market. Raymond Charles Barker used to read the newspaper every day and he would slam it down at the end and say there's not a bit of truth in it. He was not buying into the law of averages. So have faith in yourself. Have faith knowing that even if my thinking is here in the 80% level, I have that at my disposal. That is always with me. I will not be afraid, for within me I have the action of God. Jesus said, he that sent me is with me. He that sent me is with me. Or you can say world conditions are terrible, which is what 80% of the population is saying. World conditions are terrible. The law works beautifully. When you study the Old Testament, the New Testament, the writings of Paul, Emerson, Whitman, Browning, Troward, Fox, Holmes, they all say the same thing. You can become something and your capacity to become is not dependent on what you've been. What's going on? The drive of the universe is for something better, and we're scratching and clawing to stay back here with our average life. The universe is trying to push us forward. Let what you have been go and grab onto this knowing of something better for you. I want you to realize that the thing you want in life this very morning is right here. The thing you want this very morning is right here. Because if you let go of this and step here, any of these three is fine, and step there, you've already made a step towards your demonstration that's already there. Just like Angela said, this center was already here before the 4.5 years that Paul and I started talking 4.5 years ago. So let that go. The thing that you want in life this very morning is right here where you are. All that needs to be done is to correct your belief. Think about which four areas are you thinking from, making decisions from. Our spiritual thinking has done more to lift the world than all of our worries has ever done to destroy it. Every hour of worry in our experience has not destroyed us, but it's hampered us, because that push of life is trying to push us this way. My hour of worry is taking me back like this. The push of life is doing this and wants me to immediately be successful. Then I sit there and worry because, you know, they're not happening on my time frame. I'm not getting the funding that I thought I would get. And then, but the universe is pushing me forward. And so all you're doing by doing those things and going to the worry is hampering what the universe is trying to do for you. So there is that within us that worry can never destroy. With faith, vision, and belief, you can announce the person you're going to believe. Watch out there. Announce the person you're going to be. You announce for, because beware before. All of you out there, watch out, because the golf balls are going to fly. I have this greater understanding. 4 years ago this week, I announced March 4th. March 4th from this place, knowing the truth about yourself, not the facts about yourself. Again, Emerson said, beware when the great God lets loose a thinker on this planet, then all things are at risk. Beware when the great God lets loose a thinker on this planet, not in the average way, but in the mental, spiritual, and law way, beware. All things are at risk. It is wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. So let's take this into our understanding. We've come to the center for 4 years now, understanding a great truth about life. We've announced it from the stage every single Sunday, just announcing this truth of life, that there's a spiritual magnificence that is everywhere present, and it's we're an aspect of it. As an aspect of it, all that has been given is already ours. It's up to us to go ahead and announce with our minds and our thinking of what it is that we want to have show up in our individual lives. Individually, we can raise our mind up to be an attorney or a pilot or whatever we wanted to be, or somebody was treating for to be the best person at McDonald's and be the best hamburger flipper that they can be. The universe is there to push us forward to whatever it is that we reach for and push us out there. And so we reach for greater understanding of ourselves. We reach for this greater understanding of life. And what we do is we let go of this law of average thinking. We no longer allow ourselves to be there. And the minute that we catch ourselves thinking average thoughts with the gossip around the water cooler at work, do you stand back and say, there's not a bit of truth in that? I know the truth about this office. I know the truth about myself. I know this truth about my career. This is what I know. What you have done is just stepped from this law of average thinking into this mental law and spiritual law of thinking. You've stepped to a higher understanding, and the universal law works beautifully unfolding that in our lives. So we go back and reach for those greater universal principles of ours. I am not from this kingdom. You don't know the kingdom that I am from. We are from this kingdom of understanding. This is how spiritual law works. And each one of us has that at the center of our being. It's been covered up with our average thinking. We let that go. We come back to this greater understanding of the truth of ourselves. We give great thanks for this understanding. And when we walk out of these doors, beware before. The whole world is at risk. This is the truth for each one of us. And so it is.